For the last several weeks, we've been talking about faith. We've been looking at what faith is and how to apply it in our personal lives. And the faith that we see, the first faith that we ever come to is saving faith. Saving faith is pretty simple. It's John 3:16, verses 20 and following. And we all know John 3:16, right? We say it all the time. Who can recite that with me? For God. Almost perfect. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the beginning of faith. That's when you first can come to that understanding, that is the life, the eternal life-saving faith that Jesus Christ died to give us. Before that, we see that whoever believes in Him, and John 3:15, which we don't look at all that often, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can they have everlasting life? Because God loved them so much that He sent His only begotten Son to provide them a way. But why don't people go to it? People don't go to it because of John 17:18-19. First, He comes out and says that this faith that we have, if we will believe in Jesus Christ and know that God did this, that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world He might be saved, that He might save them, that He would grant them salvation. This is the first step in faith, is knowing that God loves you and that He loves you enough that He sent a way to make you understand His greatness and His love. He sent His only begotten Son. You can't go into the next phase of faith until you take that first phase of faith. That first thing. First, you got to believe that God is and that He loves Him, that He loves you, and that His desire for you is not to be cast into eternal fire. He did not come to condemn you. He didn't come to point His finger at you and say, "You rotten, stinking sinner." He came to give you a way to come out of that lifestyle and into a loving relationship with God. He came on the cross to bear our sins from eternal damnation to eternal life, or life eternal. And so that's our first step of faith. It's a saving faith. There's also a walking faith. After you become a Christian, then you've got to start walking in Christ's likeness. You've got to start looking for Jesus Christ. You've got to understand that getting saved is not the end of the road. That's just the very beginning of the road. All right? That's really and truly, that's the first and the easiest part, is getting saved, accepting Jesus Christ. I mean, He did all the work. Right? He did all the work. He paid it all on Calvary. His blood was shed for my sin. And if I can accept that, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised Him from the dead, then we shall be saved. Okay? If you will believe that with your whole heart, you're saved. Praise God. Bam, it's sealed. You're done. Well, now there's a walking faith. There's a faith that you have when you start after you get born. And then you come out into life. And I like to put this like an actual real childbirth. All right? When you're a baby in the womb, everything you need is taken care of there, right? And then all of a sudden the time comes for delivery. And when that delivery time comes, you come through the canal and bam, you are in the light. Your life has changed from darkness, which was inside of the mother's womb, into the light of the real world. And when you come into the light of the world, real world, it's frightening out there. Think of it as a little baby is being born, right? You're all warm and cozy. Everything you need is right there. You got food on demand. It comes through the umbilical cord, the placenta, all that. Bam, everything you need is right there with you. It's simple. All you got to do is whatever a baby does to get the nourishment. I don't think it has to do anything, really. I think it just happens. You know, that baby gets what it needs from there. But all of a sudden, one day, something changes. And you're cast out of that. You're thrown out into a real life world. And one minute you're all warm and cozy and snuggled up and you hear your mom's heartbeat. The next minute you're cast out into this cold, wicked, violent, light-giving world. Okay? And the frighteningness that must be. See, and the way that I pull that from that into real salvation is when you're born in a sinner's mind, sinner's thoughts, Okay, you're there, you're comfortable because it's part of your nature. That's who you were. And then, bam, all of a sudden, you come into the light of Jesus Christ. And when you come into the light of Jesus Christ, everything changes. Your whole attitude changes. The way that you get nourishment, it changes. It's no longer coming from your, from the umbilical cord. Now you don't eat from your belly button. You've got to eat from your lips. All of a sudden, things change. You're nursing now instead of just consuming through, I don't know, I was going to call it metamorphosis, but it's not really that. It's just like a sponge soaking things up. So every way that you were has got to change. And as that life grows, you start walking or you start crying. The first thing a baby does is he's scared to death, right? Because it's all warm and dark. Now it's all light and cold. And there's these guys with masks surrounding you with rubber gloves. And you're freezing cold for the first time in your life. Because everything that you knew has just passed away. You were in the darkness and then you came into the light. And everything that you knew had just passed away. But through that, you got to learn all the things in life again. You got to learn how to eat differently. You got to learn how to start communicating in some sort of way. As that works in faith as it does in real life. You were in the darkness of sin. You came out of sin. You walked into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And when you came into that marvelous light of Jesus Christ, you had to have faith that everything that He promised is going to happen. So you start walking inside of the promises of Jesus Christ. You start walking and knowing that I don't know everything right now. You know, when you first get saved, you know as much as that little baby back there knows. I'm hungry. I need to be fed. Okay, I need to start seeking out nourishment. Okay, and so if you don't seek out nourishment through the Word of God, you'd be just like a baby that doesn't have that, and you would perish pretty quickly. So you get into the Word, you start praying, and you start reading God's Word, and as you start getting that nourishment, you start seeing the difference in your life from what it was to what it needs to be. And God says, well, these are sins, and He lays out the sin, and He lays out the promises. And then you've got to start walking in the promises or in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's called the walk of faith. And it says in, let me move my Bible where I can get my scripture out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, walk by faith and not by sight. It says in John 14, well, since we're in John, we'll just stay in 14. We'll get over to 2 Corinthians in a second. But you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, just like that little baby right there has got to walk and somebody, his father that loves him, taking care of that child. He can't do it on his own. You can't leave him by himself because he won't make it. But the father who loves him will give him everything that he desires. He's starting that walk of faith. He's starting not relying on his own. Now, see, when he was in the mama's womb, he didn't have to rely on nothing. Everything he needed was right there. But as he was born and he starts walking by faith, he starts getting his nourishments, his needs are met. He starts crying out, Daddy, 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 Abba, Father. And he starts seeking out ways that he can walk in his own abilities, you know, walking in the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. And so it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith and not by sight. He says, walk by faith and not by sight. Well, that's still, you don't understand what that means completely. How does one walk by faith? You don't know no more than that little baby knows. I mean, really and truly, he doesn't know how to walk. He doesn't know how to do anything. All he knows how to do is say, hey, here I am. I'm a baby. Take care of me. I need help. Well, that's a faith walk. He's learning to lean on his parents. He's learning to lean inside of his mom and dad to walk and to know what's right. And Jesus is asking us to do that very same thing, to walk inside of what he has. It tells us in John 14 and 15, I'm still in John 3. I was supposed to be turning the pages as I was going over there. So John 14 and, I'm still in 13. 14 and 15. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So as you start to walk by faith, if you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. Why were you going to keep His commandments? Because you love Him and you know that He has the best thing planned for you. You may not understand it. That is walking in faith, not really knowing where I'm going, not really understanding why changing my life is going to make any difference. I don't understand that. So I'm walking in a faith that I really don't understand. Well, faith is what? It's the substance of things hoped for, or Hebrews and look at that. I had all these memorized before I started, but anyhow, Hebrews 11:6. I want to make sure that I quote it right. But faith, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Okay, that was the wrong one. Yeah, man, that makes me feel bad. I hate it when I do that. It is 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, first we got to know, if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. You got to know that He is. You got to know from salvation that He really exists, that He loves you, and you start to walk in that faith. You start making the adjustments in your life. And then after you start making those adjustments in your life, then you start leaning more and more into Him and less into yourself. As you lean more into Him, the less reliance you have in yourself. You know, because you start saying, well, without God, without Him taking my hand, I can't make it. Like the song says, the mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Verse 1, thank you. And so it's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And so let me flip back over there again. Because I want to make sure that I did this and did this correctly. And I love my brother there. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Oh, yeah. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen. Okay, it's absolutely invisible. You can't see it. There's a substance there that you hope for. You have faith. That baby has faith that it's going to be fed. That young child has faith that his dad's going to love him and care for him. He has faith in that, although he can't see it. He doesn't really know it. All he has to do is lean into it. And the more he leans into it, the more faith he begins to have. He starts walking from out of a childhood state and into a more mature state. As he starts walking in that more mature state, he starts living. The just shall live by faith. Okay? Not just that you have faith to get saved, and not just that you're walking in the faith of your salvation, but now you start living by it. You start saying, all right, God, I'm doing something that makes absolutely no sense. Now I've got to have You. You're calling me into places that I don't understand. You're calling me to do things that are outside of my ability, and I have got to live by Your promises, by the promises of Your Word. We talked about that. Habakkuk 2:4 and it says the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:7, the just shall live by faith. And so what he's saying over and over and over again here is that if you are justified in Jesus Christ, you can't lean on your own understanding. You must walk in the craziness of faith. You know, doing the crazy things, living on an extreme level. All right, and that scares you. That is a frightening thing because you're not doing what you know that you can do. You're doing something that you believe that only God can do through you. When you bring the gospel to somebody's life, remember, it's not you doing it. It's the Spirit of God that's living in you, because in and of yourself, you can't do these things. It takes faith to know that God has called you from a life of darkness into a life of light, and you're here to share that light, that life with other people. That's living by faith. That's making the adjustments after you start walking by it. All right, I know the Ten Commandments. I start walking by them as best as I can. I know that there's two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And you start making those small adjustments in your life. And you make those adjustments until you can actually start stepping out in faith and doing the things that are outside of your ability to do. You know, it's that living in faith that makes a difference. What does the world say? It doesn't. What does the world see? It doesn't go by what you say. It goes by what you do. As you mature and you start living in this faith, then the world will look at you and they'll make a judgment on who your God is. They'll look at you and they say, all right, this is a God I can trust. This is somebody I can do because of the walk of Greg, because of the walk of Matt, because of the walk of Chuck, because their walk in faith makes a difference to those around them. They see them going through the troubles and the trials of life, and they see them coming out victoriously. They see them living in what they say, not just saying some words, but actually making the adjustments in their life to what God has called them to. And as they do that, they get to know who God is by your lifestyle. It's living by faith that makes a difference, not just saying that you have faith. There's that faith that says, I have the faith, and I hear this from some folks that I know that I love dearly. They say, I got the faith, I can climb those steps, but you never take the steps, the staircase yourself. You say, I can get from here to there, okay, and I know I can do it, but you never step out by faith. You never start living by that faith that you say that you have, which makes you a liar. You know, nobody wants to be called a liar, right? You want to live on the radical side? You want to live outside of this world? You want to live crazy? Start living by faith. The just, are you justified? Well, you don't think you're justified until you start living it. Then you start living a justified life, not because you were able to do it, but the faith that God implanted you in you starts living in you and starts showing itself out of you. And you make those adjustments as you walk, as you live, as you rest inside of Jesus Christ, as He called you from who you are to where you need to be. And so we talked about saving faith. We talked about walking in faith. We talked about living in faith. And now today we're going to talk about working faith. You say, well, does it take any faith? Yeah, it takes faith to work. It really does. So if you'll flip over your Bibles to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And we're really going to talk about this pretty much tonight, because this I think is where the water meets the wheel. This is where all the stuff actually starts to happen. Because I can talk about having faith. I can say that I believe. I believe in things in the Bible. I believe in it. But do you believe it enough to die to yourself to prove it? Do you believe in walking inside of something that you cannot understand? Do you believe in enough to make adjustments in your life? It's not merely enough to say that you can walk up the steps. It's not merely enough to say that you love somebody. You've got to make the adjustments. You've got to love them in a way that they know that they're loved, not so much by you, but that Jesus Christ that is in you loves them so much that you are willing to die to yourself to give to them. And so if you've gotten over to the book of James, say amen as I flip over there, because y'all beat me to it. Amen. All right. And so James... James chapter 2, verse 14 and following. What does it profit, my brethren, if somebody says that he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? Well, that's a great question. Let's look at those two questions real quick. All right, what does it profit? What is the gain, folks? What is the gain, my brethren, my church, my people? What is the gain if you say that you have faith, but you don't have works? Oh, you can say, well, I believe in the Bible, but you walk like you're in the world. What good is that faith? It's absolutely worthless. Okay, it's worthless. If you just say that you believe it and you don't make an adjustment in your life, then you're lying to yourself and you're lying to God. Okay, and so what's he saying? What does it profit? What good is it, my brethren, if somebody says that he has faith, but he doesn't have works? Well, can your faith save you? Well, yeah, if you put faith in Jesus Christ, that saves you. Right? But how will the world know it? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you don't give them the things that they need for their body, what does it profit? All right? Somebody comes to you and they say, all right, I know that you're a Christian. You say that you're a Christian, man, but I'm in need here. I need something. I'm destitute. I don't have enough groceries for tomorrow. I can't feed my kids. Where is your God now? How do you show the love of Jesus Christ if you're not willing to give of something that you have extra? I love this because it worked out beautifully that our sister that's taken the step of faith to go to South Dakota to meet people's needs there. Okay, what is it if they come to her and say, hey, Missy, I know that you say that you love Jesus. You say that you walk by faith, but here's my need. And Missy would just say, peace be with you. Love you. See you. Goodbye. Right? And not meet the needs of that person. Well, what kind of God is she serving in those people's eyes? It would be a God that knows that they have needs but doesn't love them enough to tend to those needs. Those people need to see the works of your faith. Do you really, really believe that do you believe what you say you believe? Do you believe it enough to give out of this is in America is just excess. Okay? In my coat closet, I don't know, I didn't count this morning, but I will guarantee you I have 7-8 coats, maybe 10. You know, I'll guarantee. How many coats does a person need? Really? How many coats does a person need? When you know that your neighbor across the road does not have a jacket for their child, and you say, "Oh, peace be with you. Go and be filled. Be warm." Okay? And you don't give them the extra blanket that's in your closet. You don't give them out of your extra, out of the stuff that you have. Or even better than that, all right, the neighbor says, "I don't have a blanket to be warm and you don't have a blanket to give, but you got heat in your house and they don't." How about saying, "All right, hey, sis, I have this little heater over here, all right, and it's just sitting in the closet. Take it." Or even better than that, "Come into our house. Come into our house, sit on our couch, let me love you. Let me show you that I have faith in the God, in my poorness, in my lacking, and I have enough to give you because God has given to me." All right, that's radical faith. Right there is giving out of your debt and not out of your wealth. Giving when you've given all that you can and you give a little bit more just because somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, brother, I'm in need." And you say, "I believe in Jesus Christ enough to give out to you the things that I don't have enough to supply for myself. I'll give you half of the last potato that's on my plate just to make sure that you're filled." Okay, instead of having the extra scraps into my refrigerator, I'll give whatever is on my table, I will give it to you just to feed you, to let you know that my God is big enough to take care of my needs and yours. Now that's a working faith. That's faith in work. Okay? Not that I work for my salvation, but I work because my faith works, because I believe in the one who promised me these things. The book of Matthew says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of." That takes faith. That takes faith. That's a working faith. I believe in God so much that if I give everything that I have away, God is big enough to take care of me because I love the hurting and the naked and the starving. I love the drug user. I love the homosexual enough to die to myself, to give to them the things that they need to sustain their life. What's going to change a man's heart? What's going to change somebody? What's going to bring people into the church? Is us loving them with a radical kind of love. Showing our faith by our works. You know, we've got to have that. Do you really have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith that makes you work? To say, "All right, I'm going to give to you. All right, it's my favorite coat, but I know that you're cold. I'm going to give to you. I'll give it to you just... not because I have extra, but because this is the best that I have." You know, when we give things away, we don't want to give secondhand stuff because we have so much. You know, what I like to do is give the newest thing that I have, the thing that I love the most. I'll give that to you because I love my God and I have faith in Him. And because I have faith in Him, I know that He'll tend to my every need. All I got to do is tend to your every need. I got to wash your feet. I got to love you. Even though you spit at me and you don't like me, you think that I'm crazy, you say nasty things about me, I love you beyond all of that stuff. Why? Because I have a God who saved me from eternal damnation. He saved me by the blood of the cross. He saved me and He has given to me in such a way that I can pour His love that He has shown to me back into your life. Do you have that kind of faith? That's working faith, folks. That's the faith that makes a difference to a lost and dying world. Well, America has had enough faith that says, oh, be warm and filled, but go and fill yourself. Okay? The church has done more damage by a faith that doesn't show works, but a faith that just says that I have it. I have it and you don't. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. I got faith that you don't have. I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. Die, you sinner. You know, that's the kind of stuff that the church for too many years has been showing a lost and dying generation, lost and dying people. And people don't like the church anymore. Why? Because we don't have the working kind of faith that James talks about here. We don't have that kind. Well, we have it. We just ain't living in it. We ain't walking in it. You know, we talk about it. We talk about it all to the nth degree. We explain it to people. But do you live it? The proof. I want the proof. I want to see it. You really say that you've got faith? You show it to me. You show me your faith. You walk in faith and you start tending to the needs of those. Jesus cared a lot about the orphans and about the widows. He cared so much about them. He left it in His words that real faith is this, that you care for the orphans and that you care for the widows, the folks who are destitute of food, the folks that are in great need. Jesus says that if you really believe in me that I'll take care of everything that you need, then you start pouring it out. You start giving more than you can receive. And I guarantee you, if you give more than you've ever received, you can't outgive God. God, He says, I have a cattle on 1,000 hills. And you give something that you love to somebody in need, and God will take care of you. You make the prayers in the private places of your home. Don't stand on the corner and beat on your chest. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't just show your good works on the outside for the world to see. You take it and all right, James or Justin comes to me and says, Curtis, I'm in need. I need something. And it's between me and Justin. I say, all right, my brother, I'll help you. But I don't need to take that and put it on the window of the church. You know, I don't need to take that and say, oh, wow, Curtis, you're such a good guy, man. Look at how you tended to the need of this person. No, that's not right. That's hypocritical. That's getting you the glory and not God the glory. What you do, you know the neighbor that's right beside you that's in need. You know what they need because they live by you. You know that they're hurting because they live by you. You know that you know them because you have a relationship. They're within your sphere of influence. God gave them to you for you to care for. It's your caring for them, and they'll see your good works, and they'll glorify God who's in heaven. It's not the building. It's not these people right here. It's your people, your friends, the people you know. It's your sphere of influence. You're the one who make more sheep. Do you know that? If the church grows, it's because of your fingerprints on somebody's life. When they're hungry, when they're naked, when they're cold, when they're tired, you give them rest because Jesus Christ gave it to you. You give them food. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave it to you. You give them clothing. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave it to you. You give them forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave it to you. And if you can't do that, then they can't see God in the right eyes. They can't see our Savior who loves us, who died for us, who cleansed us of our sin because we have this grudge against somebody else because they ain't like us. Well, I praise God that they ain't like me. Okay? Right? God gave He's a manifold God, many different things, and He loves people in all different sizes and shapes. He loves them so much that He set them free. Jesus, remember what we read in John 3:17, that God did not come to condemn the world. Why did He not condemn the world? That those might believe in Him. He didn't come to condemn them, but to save them. We can't look at the alcoholic, the drug addict, the prostitute, the homosexual in their sin and say, you're not good enough. We got to look at them and say, by my walk of faith, because Jesus Christ loves me, so I love you. And I love you enough to die to myself to show it to you. I love you enough to give out of my need. I was going to say abundance. We're abundantly blessed. We should have an abundance. But we ought to live on such a banking account, okay, a spiritual banking account, that we live on the edge of bankruptcy. We're giving away so much that at any moment we could fall. Okay? And that takes faith. It takes faith. It's not faith because I have 17 coats to give one away. Okay, that's no faith. I still have 16 left. What takes faith is I have 17 coats, I keep one, and I give 16 away. That's faith. Okay, because I really don't know how cold it's going to get this winter. Might be like last winter, and all you need is a jacket most of the year. You know, it didn't get that cold. But the folks who don't have anything that extra that you have, giving it to them, sharing with them, giving them out of what you have, not necessarily your abundance, they're going to see God in that likeness. They're going to see God through your works of faith. It says in the next verse, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But if anyone says, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I like that. I like that, and I like that a bunch. You show me your faith without works. You say that you have faith in Jesus Christ, but you don't help the destitute. You don't help the hurting. You don't help the ones who need help. Well, you say you got faith. All right, praise God. You say you got it. I got to believe you in that. Until you start working and walking and living in that faith in such a way that people can see it and recognize that it is God's fingerprints on your life. That's what makes the difference. Why are people running away from the church instead of running into the church? I used to say that it's because of the sin that's in the church and the people won't love you because of it. They won't come to it. Well, I tell you that I don't think that's right anymore. As I'm doing this study in faith, why are people running from the church? Because we're not loving them the way that Jesus Christ loved them. We're not pouring our lives out into them like Jesus Christ poured His life out into them. We're not putting our arm around those folks and saying, I love you because Jesus loves me. I love you because I'm giving to you not because I have an abundance of something. I'm giving to you because I have faith that Jesus Christ will take care of me. And I want you to have that same kind of faith, that Jesus will take care of you, that He will love you in the midst of your hurting, that He will feed you in the midst of your hungry, that He will clothe you in the midst of your nakedness, that He will take His righteousness and pour it on you. Why? Because He did it for me. He did it for me, and I am living proof. Let me dump Jesus Christ into you. Let me take the love of God and pour it into you in such a way that only He can get the glory. Okay? As too often the church has become the glory stealers of God. We want the glory of God. Oh, yes, I helped 250,000 orphans this year. I am so good. In fact, I go to the church that's called Pious. I go to the Pious Church. Watch me pat myself on the back. That's not what God's saying for us to do. Are we supposed to care for orphans? Yes, we are. Are we supposed to hurt for the hurting? Yes, we are. But are we supposed to do it on the corners and on the housetops? No, we ain't. What we are supposed to do is meet them in the middle of their hurt and love them in the middle of their nastiness and allow God to do the change in their life. They'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is working your faith. That is working. Do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to work it? Okay? The farmer says, I believe I'll have a crop. I believe I'll have a crop. I have faith in that. Well, you don't have faith unless you till the soil. You don't have faith unless you plant the seed. You don't have faith unless you go and harvest it. Okay? You're just saying that it's going to happen. It doesn't make it happen. You got to work it out. You got to work. I got faith that there'll come a crop, but I got enough faith to prepare the soil for the crop. I got enough faith to plant the seed for the crop. I got enough faith to water it, to irrigate it if I need to, that God can get the increase. Okay? It's a working faith. It's not just faith. Well, I have faith that the sun's going to come today. Well, that's no faith at all. I tell you, most Christians today have more faith in their automobile than they do in their Savior. I have faith that every time I go to my car, I'll stick the key in the ignition, turn it, it'll crank. That takes faith. Every time that you stick the key in the ignition, it takes faith that it's going to crank. And if it fails you, oh boy, do we get angry. Man. We tried to help push start a tractor over at the fair the other day. That fellow was mad that his tractor did not crank. He was upset. Boy, there wasn't a happy moment in his whole day. You know, he ended up getting it cranked, but you know, the bottom part of it is he had faith in his tractor, but not faith in his God. Okay, he had faith in his tractor, but he had no faith in his God. And then when that faith was broken by his tractor, boy, he was angry at him. Sometimes we have faith in ourselves, but we don't have faith in God. Or I have faith in you, and you don't. You know, I believe in you. I believe in the pastor. I believe in the deacon. I believe in the body of Christ, but the building of Christ. Okay. I believe in the church. Okay. We think of church as a building, and you'll put your faith in the church. And I can think of a particular religion, Catholics. They believe in the church. They believe that their salvation is in the church. Now, there are saved folks there. There are folks who believe in Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection. They put their faith in that. And so I'm not saying nothing against it. I'm just saying that the folks who believe in the work of the papacy will save them. They're short. They have come short of the glory of God, and they'll never enter into it. Well, what we need to do is start showing our faith to a lost and dying world in such a way that they can glorify our Father. We got to start working our faith out. Somebody broke down on the side of the road. You drive by them. Okay, do you stop and try to help them? Fellow tractor broke down, right? There were 100 people around that tractor. Only two folks helped push it. You know, why? It's not that we did anything great or anything good or nothing like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I was amazed at is that there were firemen there. There were policemen there. There were hundreds of good doers there. But nobody helped that fellow push his tractor. You know, nobody helped him to get it started. Nobody took that step of faith and said, I don't know if I can do it, but I know that the God that's in me can help you. You know, we prayed for him. We prayed over it. We grabbed a hold of that tractor, Justin and I. We pushed that tractor uphill. And then we tried pushing it downhill. We didn't get it cranked. Eventually, somebody came and jumped him off. But I couldn't hook jumper cables to me and make it happen. Anyhow, eventually, he got it cranked. But it was a work of faith. It was showing that I will do whatever it takes. It says right after that, you believe in God. You believe that there is one God. Well, you do well. You do well in that you believe that there is one God. Man, I'm happy. And that's when I read that and I understand what he's saying, Paul's writing or James is writing. He says, man, I'm glad that you believe that there is one God. Let me tell you, even the demons in hell believe that there's one God, and they fear and tremble. Do you know that? That they're scared because they know that there is one God. And let me find this. You have faith, and I'll show you my faith by my words. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my words. You believe that there is one God. Well, you do good. Well, you do good. There, you believe that there is one God. Well, you do good. Well, let me tell you an example. The demons in hell, they believe that there is one God. The demons that are locked up in the abyss right now, they know that there is one God. That one God threw them in hell. Why? Because they left their original abode. They left what they were called to do. Okay, they deserted God, and because they deserted God, God put them in a pit. Okay, they know it. They believe it. The madman of Gadara, when Jesus came there, and this madman, he was unable to be held with steel chains. He would break it out. He lived in the tombs. He cut himself with stones. He was absolutely possessed by a demonic force. When Jesus shows up on the scene, what does he do? He runs out and he worships Jesus Christ because he knows there is one God. And those demons were afraid of that one God. They said, don't cast us into the abyss, but allow us to go into the swine. The demons have faith in God and they fear and tremble. I tell you folks, here in the church, we say we believe in God, we say it, but where's the fear and trembling? Where is the awe of God? Man, I've said this before. Man, we get all worked up over the Olympics. Okay? Man, that guy, he swam the 400 meter dash in 2 seconds. That's awesome! No, he's just a good swimmer. I mean, that would be pretty awesome if he could run, swim 400 meters in 2 seconds. That would be pretty cool. I mean, he'd have a rooster tail coming out. I mean, that guy's going down the road. But anyhow, you know, we look at that kind of stuff where the guy does this super triple quadruple backflip in a pretzel shape. Okay, man, that's awesome. And when he hits the water, there's no splash, no ripple. Man, that's awesome. You want to know something that's awesome about water sports? Jesus walked on it. You want to talk about awesomeness? When Jesus jumped on it, it held his weight. Okay? You can't jump on water and not go down. Jesus Christ walked on the water. That's awesome. You know, I like to see that, the diving. And he does the wonderful swan dive. Woo! And he hits the water and walks. You know, he walks. He walks from there to the judges. Now that's awesome. You know, that is awesome. I mean, it's cool that people can do neat tricks, and that's really neat. But we attach the word awesome to it. Well, we're wrong. I tell you, it takes to give the way that Jesus says give, to love with the faith that Jesus says love, folks. That's awesome. Why? Because it's supernatural. You're doing something outside of yourself, the things that only God can do. For me to love you? Dude, that's awesome. You know, because I love myself. You know, I do. I love myself. I take care of myself. I love myself. Right? But for me to love you the way that I love myself, that's awesome. You know why? That means I'm willing that I should die for your benefit. That I could do without that you might have. That's the kind of faith that does a difference in a person's life. That's the kind of faith that'll help this church grow. That's the kind of faith that will reach out into that community and love people in the middle of their mess and show them that there is a real God that stands in heaven in intercession between God the Father and our sinfulness. It's the man Christ Jesus. Well, the demons believe and they fear and they tremble. Man, there's no trembling in the church. I tell you what, when we think of the awesomeness and the faith of God and the faith that we have in God, we ought to tremble when we think of the cross. We ought to tremble when we think of the blood of Jesus Christ. We ought to tremble when we know that someday we'll stand in judgment. And He's going to ask, He ain't going to ask, He's going to know what kind of faith you have. Man, you ought to be trembling in your boots, shaking in your diapers today. You ought to be afraid because God is going to judge you for your work. He's going to judge you. Now, I ain't saying that He'll send you to hell. We found that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 and following. And it talks about the foundation and the works and how everything that is in the body of Christ will go through the fire. And most of your stuff is going to be burned up because you did it without faith. Okay, most of your stuff will be burned up. But there will be some precious jewels. There will be something of worth because Jesus Christ died for you. It says that person who is judged by that bema seat of God, that all of his works will pass through it. And if all of his works be burnt up, he himself will be saved. But he'll be saved as though he had gone through a fire. You'll be saved but blistered. Okay, I don't know. I got blistered when I was a kid. Not by the sun, but by my mama. She'd blister you. You do something wrong, she'd blister you. And man, whoo! Ah, man, it just... But anyhow, it made the demons believe. It made the demons believe. He says that the demons believe and they fear and that they tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son at the altar? Do you see that faith is working together with his works by the works of faith which made perfect, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. God called him friend. Man, Do you see that? Do you see the layout, the way that that works? Abraham believed enough to sacrifice the thing that he loved the most, that God would be glorified. Do we have that kind of faith? Do you have a working faith today? Do you have a working faith when God says, I want you to quit your job? Okay? Do you have that kind of faith? I want you to do something radical. I want you to give your last piece of bread to that fellow next door. I want you to give your warmest coat to that person who has no coat. I want you to give the thing that you love the most. Will you sacrifice that on the altar for Jesus Christ? That's a kind of working thing. That's a faith that will change your life, and not just your life, but those around you. You can have saving faith. That's easy. Trust in Jesus Christ. He promises if you'll put your faith in Him that He will do a miracle in your life and He will snatch you out of the coals of hell and bring you to eternal life. He promises you that. If you believe that He paid your price on Calvary, the sin debt that you owe, you believe, bam, He saves you. He seals your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then He'll ask you to start walking in that faith that He has called you to. And you start walking in it. And it's just like a baby starts crawling a little bit. I believe that Jesus saved me. Now I believe Jesus saved me enough that I'm going to pray and I'm going to read His Word. And then after you start reading His Word and praying, and you start living in the faith in which you read about. Okay, and as you live in the faith of which you read about, then you start making differences in your life which affect the people that is right next to you, which affects the people that is right next to them. That is living faith. That's a live faith. People look at you and they say, that man has a living faith because of the way that he's walking, he's talking, and he's loving people the way that Jesus Christ did. Alright, that's a walking, and then you're living, and then you got to have a working faith. And this is the hardest faith. Okay, it's easy to start the race, right? You know, in the Olympics, the gun goes bang, and everybody starts running. Oh man, they're good at the first 100 meters, man. If you're running a 400 meter run, right, the first 100, that's pretty easy. Yeah, they're all doing that. Okay, now you're in the 390th meter of the race. Right, you're breathing hard. You can't get around the next turn. Only the ones that have had their conditioning. This is like conditioning for a race. It really is. This faith life is a conditioning. First, you start out with the training. Bam. You say, I want to run in the Olympics. Okay, so what you start doing is you start training and running. All right, you just start doing it and you do it naturally. Then your walking faith, that's the extreme training, and then the living, then you start adjusting your life to the workout schedule that will make you able to run in the Olympics. And then this walking or working faith, this is the one that gets you to the finish line. Okay, that you will know at the end of your days that you have run the race and you have run it well. And when you enter into the finish line, into the gates of heaven, He says, Jesus will look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's how you know how your working faith was doing. Now, we can know a little bit about it on the earth. Do we know somebody in need? Do you? Do you know somebody who needs something? Well, are you giving to that person? Are you giving to them out of the love of Jesus Christ? Are you giving it to them in such a way that God is being glorified? Don't you know that the body without the spirit is dead, and so faith without works is dead? Do you know that if you say you have faith and you have not works, then your faith is dead? It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. There's nothing to it. Yeah, you can say, I have enough to climb the steps. I have enough to do the things that need to be done. But until you take those steps of faith and actually start climbing that ladder, climbing those steps, and you get to the top rung, just saying it won't do it. You got to do it. There's a work that goes with it. You got to work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Man, that's a different sermon. How much time you got? No. So I got to ask you this. As we're coming to the end of this mini-series, I guess you'd call it, because we've been in it for 4 weeks now, about faith. How is your faith? Are you stuck in the small part of faith that's just saving faith? Are you there? That's all that you have is saving faith? You've never started walking by faith. You've never started living in your faith. Today's the day to start making those harsh adjustments. Today is the day to start saying, all right, God, you are right, and I'm going to believe you like the devils in hell believe in you. I'm going to believe in you with fear and trembling. I'm going to believe in you so much that I will make adjustments in my life for you. I believe you so much that I'm going to start loving people the way that you love them. I believe you so much that I'm going to start dying to myself, bearing my cross daily, giving the best that I have to offer. Not the worst, not the leftovers, not the fragments. God wants us to have that kind of faith. And that kind of faith will bring us to a place of need. Not need for food or not need for wealth, but we're going to need Jesus Christ. We're going to need Him to sustain us. We're going to have to lean into that everlasting love. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. Do you believe that? Do you have faith enough to say that all of these things, if I follow Jesus Christ, He's going to take care of my clothing, He's going to take care of my food, He's going to take care of my shelter. All I got to do is walk by faith. And faith is that thing, is that substance that we can't see, is the evidence that's invisible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to read it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We didn't even really get into Hebrews chapter 11, which was the meat of this. I guess God decided something different today. Faith without works is dead. How's your work? What you doing? Jesus paid it all, right? All to Him I owe. Do you believe that? I mean, really, when you examine your own life, do you believe it? If you believe it, there's an evidence to it because there's a work in it.